WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's the last day of April, which means we're getting this in just under the wire because April is National Poetry Month. But I am joined now by Vijay Seshadri, who this month was awarded this year's Pulitzer Prize for Poetry for his collection, Three Sections, which the judges call, quote, a compelling collection of poems that examine human consciousness from birth to dementia in a voice that is by turns witty and grave, compassionate and remorseless, unquote, from the Pulitzer judges. He came to this country at age 5 with his parents from Bangalore, worked as a copy editor for The New Yorker, now a professor at Sarah Lawrence College, and like the 2012 winner, Tracy K. Smith, lives in Brooklyn. Welcome to WNYC, Vijay Seshadri.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your Pulitzer Prize. And you're being claimed now by each of those parts of your bio. Newspapers in India are pointing out that you're the first South Asian to win the prize for poetry. The New Yorker wrote a tribute. Sarah Lawrence seems excited. And the papers here describe you as a Brooklyn poet. Do you claim all those identities?
Absolutely, yeah. I would claim all the identities I can get. You know, it's like our greatest Brooklyn poet, Walt Whitman, of course, said that he contained multitudes, and, you know, if I contain 3 or 4 people, I'm sort of on my way there. That's nice.
And Brooklyn contains multitudes, which is maybe why it produces so many great poets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we live in a really rich poetic environment there, and, you know, especially my neighborhood in South Brooklyn is crawling with poets. I mean, and...
So you've agreed to give the listeners some samples of your poetry. And we asked you to read part of, or I guess all of, because this is a short one, This Morning in Three Sections, which kind of fits one picture of a Brooklyn poet. You ready?
Yeah. So I'll read This Morning first. This morning. First, I had 3 apocalyptic visions, each more terrible than the last. The graves open and the sea rises to kill us all. Then the doorbell rang, and I went downstairs and signed for 2 packages, one just an envelope, but the other long and bulky, difficult to manage, both for my neighbor, Gus. You're never not at home, the FedEx guy said appreciatively. It's true. I don't shave or even wash. I keep the air conditioners roaring. Though it's summer, one of the beautiful red and conifer green Bayside fuel oil trucks that bed down in the depot by the canal was refreshing the subsurface tanks with black drafts wrung from the rock, blood of the rock sucked up from the crevices. The driver looked unconcerned. Leaning slightly on each other, Frank and Louise stepped over his hose and walked by slowly, on the way to their cardiologist.
Ha. Huh. So is that the poet's lot? Grand visions, apocalyptic imaginings, interrupted by FedEx guys and fuel oil deliveries?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And that's sort of... it's the kind of interaction that one has when one sits down to writing in... in any environment, but particularly in a dense environment like a city like Brooklyn and a city like New York, that there are all of these noises and influences and odd inspirations, And one of the things that I think urban poets, especially New York poets in the past 30 or 40 years, have been very good at is sort of capturing the pulse of the city, capturing its quality, and it's been a real aesthetic adventure for New York writers. And to the extent that I'm a New York writer, I tend to think that I should do that too. And that poem is an example of sort of my living in my neighborhood, my environment, my Brooklyn environment, and sort of rendering it on the page as life was happening around me. Mm-hmm. And, some of those incidents are, I mean, the FedEx guy never told me that. And, of course.
That you're never not that, home.
Right. But Frank and Louise did step over the hose and walk by slowly. You know, I don't know if they were going to their cardiologist, but they're neighbors of mine who were old and had health problems. So I just...
And you could find the poetry in that simple act of them walking by your building.
Yeah.
The title of the collection is Three Sections, and it's roughly divided between, I guess, standard-length poems like the one you just read, a long prose piece on Pacific Fishes of Canada, which I haven't read. I don't know if you're channeling your inner John McPhee there or what. And a 16-page poem called Personal Essay. And you'll read for us in a minute from that. But what do the three forms offer you as a poet? Shorter poems, one really, really long poem, and a prose essay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the long poem, which I'm going to read from, sort of... is just a part of a continuing ambition I have to write a long poem. And so it was motivated as much by my literary understanding and my literary ambition. Pacific Fishes of Canada, the prose memoir, is basically about a couple of months I spent on the Bering Sea working as a biologist for the National Marine Fisheries Service in my youth.
Uh-huh.
And that was just there, I think, because I have a lot of interesting biographical material that I've never known how to put together in a book. It's sort of, and so I parked it there in preparation for putting it in a book at some point. And then the lyric poems, the short ones like the one I just read, are ones that, you know, I typically write. So, you know, and I kind of divide the book in my mind this way, that the larger material is sort of about America in a way and my experience in America, and the shorter material, the lyric poems, are things that I would write wherever I was just as a poet. I mean, they're more determined by poetry than anything else. So
do you want to read from the 16-page poem, Personal Essay, and do you need to set up the section you're going to read at all?
Yeah, this is a little section that actually emerges in Brooklyn. What's happened in the poem up until now is that there's sort of been a real internal meditation on the part of the speaker of the poem, who seems to be sort of lost in the labyrinths of his own mind, and then he emerges and out of his own mind, and this is a little description of his emerging in the poem into the world he's actually living in. And I will read it. I'll start.
Great.
Slowly the mind finds itself in a cab. Slowly the mind finds itself in a cab on Atlantic Avenue. Suddenly, it occurs to the mind that the fact that they make people live here on Atlantic Avenue reveals, as nothing else can, the criminality of this social order. Along the wound that is Atlantic Avenue from Flatbush to the sea, hacked out by a blunt axe disfiguring the earth, they pack them in by the tens of thousands. They surround them with discount tire outlets and disreputable used car dealers. Broken, unfathomable streets spreading out into Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights, gloom under the elevated tracks of the Long Island Railroad, with which tracks a malevolent municipal authority has chosen to stitch this thoroughfare for miles and miles. Dismay in the undergirders spattered by morning doves, lamenting in the crevices. who here doesn't understand what they mean when they talk about the tears of things?
Wow, that's not a pretty picture you paint of Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah. When I go to JFK, the cab usually takes, the Atlantic Avenue route, and I'm sure many of your listeners have been on that route, and it is pretty forlorn and desolate in places there.
Do you think if you lived in the countryside, you'd write about meadows and daffodils?
I probably would. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I think that is sort of a kind of vision of a certain kind of urban desolation, which is a part of our experience if we live in urban areas, but it's also in the poem just a moment. And it's kind of, the poem sort of rises and falls in many ways, and that's probably the lowest it goes, but then it tends to kind of climb to other heights. And that is sort of, and I do think, especially I think, when I look at various neighborhoods in Brooklyn that I don't know, I say, well, what do the people do there? How do they live? How do they pay their bills? And what is their life like? Because it's such an enormous borough. I mean, and there's so many people and there's so many neighborhoods. And when one has lived in a place a long time, and I've been in Brooklyn now almost 30 years, you kind of, the mind goes to thinking about the people around you.
It's a good thing. Better than not thinking about the people around you. We have 30 seconds left. What does it mean to you to have won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry?
Well, it's an enormous kind of honor, and I'm just sort of, I'm enjoying it, but I'm also, baffled and bewildered by it. Because, most of us poets, we tend to sort of, the limelight doesn't shine on us, and that's fine. I mean, I don't consider myself as living in obscurity. I've had a good career so far. And
now the light shines more, but we will have to leave it there. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And congratulations, Vijay Seshadri. His collection, Three Sections, won this year's Pulitzer Prize for Poetry, and he's a professor of writing at Sarah Lawrence College. We have links to more of his work on our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.